Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James Day, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
And Beth Habager.
Good morning.
We appreciate y'all being here. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. We got some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day to get to, all that coming up for you. Looking forward to it. Right now, it's time for The Kitchen's Open, the show inside the show. This is, of course, going to be turned into a future podcast and a show that you'll be able to hear on this station. We're looking forward to it. But for right now, I'm going to go ahead and move out of the way and open up the kitchen.
All right, so here we are. It's Monday, October 10th.
Yeah.
And we're going to dive into this interesting study that was published in the Washington Post. Two guys from Georgia Tech did this. They're Cleo Andres and Xiaofeng Lang. I'm probably slaughtered his name, so sorry.
Did it better than I could.
But we're going to look at the most common restaurant cuisine in each state in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And some of the categories that were in here are kind of interesting and challenging to figure out really what it means. But things like
yes.
fast food, Hawaiian, Italian, Mexican, pizza, pub, seafood.
And some of that they didn't include that you would think are common cuisines in the U.S. are American bar or cafe,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't include those as possible cuisine types.
I wonder if part of that is because we can't really define what is American. You know, what is bar food?
Well, and I think they included pub as because pubs typically have a strong focus on food.
Right, as opposed to bars yeah. where sometimes you just get snacky kind of stuff.
Right, and then are more about the alcohol.
Right. So, believe it or not, Asian was popular in two states, but it's kind of surprising what two states would be Asian, you know, because I have my ideas of where there would be like Chinatowns and things like that. And you would think that's where it would be. But the two states that have Asian as the most popular food are Washington and Alaska.
I mean, geographically, they're not terribly far apart.
This is true.
And I don't know if it's because of a rise in population or just that's where the good restaurants are.
Right. And who knows what influences came into those states. But those are just not the ones that you would think of automatically. You know, mm-hmm. I would go to like California, you would think might have a high Asian population that you would see that as one of the major foods. But that's not what happened.
No. And it doesn't separate what type of Asian. You know,
this is true.
There's a lot of different varieties.
Could be Korean, it could be, you know, Chinese, Japanese,
Thai.
yeah
but this was a pretty small study.
Yes.
So the next one is going to be also very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Fast food,
right?
what is fast food
and how fast does it have to be fast
right,
food
exactly. So it was mostly concentrated in the South with Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But they did have two outliers.
Yeah.
Idaho and Utah.
Huh. I wonder why those two were so into that.
I'm not sure. And then also the debate, what is fast food?
Right.
Are we talking just like your big chains, Burger King, Arby's, Hardee's?
Maybe it could be Popeyes. We didn't hear that.
Mm-hmm, right? Or do they include things like Qdoba? Don't
right.
they have a drive-thru?
They do. They do. So, yeah. you know, it could be, who knows what they were defining as fast food. But, it's an interesting study to do that. And then, you know, what? There was only one state where Hawaiian was the top food.
Gee, I wonder where that is.
It was Hawaii, believe it or not. Go figure. Hawaiians love Hawaiian food. But I have to admit, as a visitor to Hawaii, I loved Hawaiian food. I don't know why we don't have more of that in the continental United States.
There was some debate, too, because I was reading in the thread about, well, what are they talking about when mm-hmm. they're saying Hawaiian food?
This is true.
And I think the consensus was the food that most Hawaiians eat.
Okay. So things
which
like
is
poi.
Like the Hawaiian plate.
Yeah.
Which can include anything like fried rice. What was the other? I mean, spam.
Mm-hmm. Spam.
Often served there.
And they have a variety of spam there that you don't have in the continental United States.
Yeah. You can't find that here.
No.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So
but
maybe we need to get
influence,
that. Go ahead.
A lot of the influences there with their food are actually Asian.
It is true. So I wonder if that could be considered part of that Asian. But they defined it as its own, and that's where it was popular.
Yeah. So now let's delve into Italian. I don't think James is going to be surprised by this. The two states that was the most popular is New York and New Jersey.
Yeah. But we have to point out that Italian did not include pizza. Mm-hmm. That they decided pizza was going to be its own one.
Its own separate
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
although most Italian places do serve pizza.
It is true. Mm-hmm. And those are usually where you get your best pizza. So I wonder if some of that was crossover as well.
Mm-hmm.
Never can tell. Mm-hmm. And then, again, not surprising, the areas that would have the most Mexican areas are in the Southwest, Arkansas to California, with Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, and Nevada all preferring Mexican restaurants.
And that doesn't surprise me at all.
No. You've got that wonderful crossover with some Tex-Mex stuff as well, so that you can get that blend and flavor.
And then just authentic cooking of the food. So it's always going to be better.
Yeah, it's its own category, so I don't know if that was included in fast food or not, because this sounds like it's the more authentic, like tamales and the cultural Mexican food that you would get from the immigrants that would immigrate up from Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Some of the best Mexican food I've had is from people that moved or immigrated from Mexico.
Mm-hmm. It's the authenticity really makes a difference in the flavors that you have as well, because they use spices down there that we don't use in American Mexican food.
Well, and think about the recipes that were handed down throughout your family that are you not going to find necessarily in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Made with love, too. Love adds an extra flavor to food.
Yes, it does.
So we talked about Italian food, and then we mentioned that pizza wasn't a part of it. So where is pizza popular?
So pizza, not surprisingly, is popular in the Middle Eastern states with Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island.
Yeah. It's interesting that it doesn't surprise me that Illinois is in there. I mean, Pizzeria Uno, so there's a different styles of pizza, too. And I wonder, because you look at the diversity of states there, which kind of pizza are they talking about? Is it Italian style, you know, Chicago style? Is it New York style?
Did it include Domino's and pizza, like Pizza Hut?
Exactly.
Or those fast food restaurants?
Exactly. So good study. Still some questions about what the results are. Yeah. And then you've got the pub food that we were talking about. And I think pub food, I think of like pretzels and like a good juicy burger kind of thing.
Right. And what we would typically call bar food.
Right. But they call it pub food. So
In this study.
And that was popular in the upper Midwest. Places like here in Wisconsin, that's where it was popular. Minnesota, Iowa, North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Montana, Wyoming, and Oregon. The only outlier with this was Vermont.
Hmm.
Loves its pub food. And I wonder if the types of pub food that is served is different there than it is here in the Midwest.
Well, and I wonder, too, if that's actually the only state where pub makes sense.
True. True, it could be. And they probably are able to figure out ways to creatively utilize some of the things that they can get there that we can't get here, like fresh seafood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that takes us right into seafood,
Beth. Mm.
So the two states where that was most popular, Louisiana and Maine.
Yeah. You got the Gulf and you got the coast. Yeah.
Yep. So this is where the reading into the comments, there was, like we mentioned, a lot of speculation on whether this was really all that great of a study. And some people chimed in about the fast food and if that's really a food category, why Italian and pizza were separate. And do any of us actually refer to a bar as a pub?
That's true. You know, in some places it's interchangeable. In other places it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you know, there was another article in the Washington Post, and it showed the maps of the most disproportionately popular cuisines in each state. And there were kind of a few surprises in there.
Mm-hmm. So it's fun to look at the map because it's a lot different than the first one where it's just talking about categories of food.
Mm-hmm.
This one really kind of dug into it. So the ones that weren't surprising were Tex-Mex in Texas, Mexican in New Mexico and Arizona, steak everywhere from Montana to Nebraska, Cajun in Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
and then Southern in like most of the Southern states. All of those ones that we listed off as fast food,
mm-hmm.
in this study, Southern was disproportionately the most popular food.
That's right. And some were not as surprising. You know, the ones that, there were some that kind of went, huh, in North Dakota, it's German food. So, you know, coming from the Penn Dutch area, it's like, how are they defining German? Is it schnitzel? It, you know, you could also say that there's some Norwegian food that would be popular in North Dakota. They do lutefisk. They still do lutefisk out there. So why would German be more disproportionately popular? Other ones are Pakistani in Illinois, and I'm wondering if there's a huge immigrant population there that has helped that up, and gluten-free in Colorado.
That one makes me laugh a little bit.
And do you believe that hot dogs is the most popular in West Virginia?
Really?
Yeah, in West Virginia. And again, that may be, you know, if that's a good Penn Dutch thing, they never let any part of an animal go to waste. So how else can you use it? Throw it into hot dogs and things like that. And gastropubs were the most popular or the most unique in Idaho.
I had to look up the meaning of gastropub.
Okay.
Because that just doesn't sound appealing to me.
No.
But the definition is a pub that focuses on high quality food.
Like
higher end food.
So it'd be like going to a fancy 5-star restaurant. But in a pub-style setting.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I wonder what was Wisconsin's most...
Is it Polish?
It could be. Let's double check. It is buffets. We like our options here in Wisconsin. And that was the same for Iowa. So those two, the most popular cuisines are disproportionately popular are buffets.
All right. And well, another, you know, you can never pass up a good buffet.
This is true. And so I wondered about some of my other stomping grounds. Not surprisingly, in Pennsylvania, it's cheesesteaks. It's the only place you can get a true cheesesteak is in Pennsylvania. One. They came out of Philadelphia, so you got to go there. And you know what goes really well with a good cheesesteak? Pierogies.
Ah.
And you wouldn't think about that. That's a nice Polish food, but there's such a huge concentration of immigration. So being able to add that is delicious. And then one of my other old stomping grounds, Ohio.
This one I thought was funny.
Soup.
Yep.
Soup. You go to places and you get soup. And I wonder if they include chili in that. Is it meat soup? Is it just plain soup? What kinds of soup? And
does
it doesn't go.
Count?
That's true. Because it's more of that liquid thing. How about gazpacho?
Mm.
Cold soup. Yeah. But those were some of the interesting ones that you wouldn't think about. And the East Coast has a lot of Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
So that was popular in Massachusetts, in New Jersey, in Rhode Island. So in New Hampshire, it was breakfast and brunch.
I like to go out for breakfast.
Yeah. Do they not have a lot of evening restaurants? Who knows?
Who knows?
So these were some of the interesting ones that, and in California, here's where that Asian thing, so disproportionately, mm-hmm. it's Taiwanese.
Yeah. Yep. And then you've got Washington with Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm. So lots of interesting ones. And Minnesota, again, buffets.
So it's fun to think about, you know, the different kinds types of food that you can find
mm-hmm.
all across the United States. It's a big place.
Right. Well, and it makes me want to just kind of drive around our area and our state and really see, focus on what restaurants are available. What are the ones that I go to? What haven't I tried yet? Maybe there's something out there that would be different than what I normally would have.
And I have a lot of friends that like to just travel on the weekends. And one of their big things is to stop at non-chain restaurants.
Yes.
Try to find the little mom and pop places where maybe it's been in the family for generation upon generation, and they're making those recipes that were passed down with love. You're not going to find those mm-mm. anywhere else.
Absolutely.
That are exactly like that one.
And those are the ones that are most likely to have those more authentic type of meals.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's a variety out there. I mean, you can find Indian food. I'm surprised that was not on this list anywhere.
Yeah, I didn't see that anywhere.
Yeah, because to me that, and we don't have one around here, a good Indian restaurant. You have to travel an hour or more to get to someplace like that. And it's such good food, and it's an interesting, different thing for your palate if that's not the type of food that you're interested in.
Well, and there's such a variety of it, too.
Mm-hmm. And most of these you can have adapted. Like, I know I claim I've got my nice bland palate. So when I go to restaurants that like Mexican or Indian that usually have a lot of spice to it, I actually went to a restaurant in Ohio that asked, well, how spicy do you want it? And they gave, you could give them a scale of, well, I can do maybe a 2 out of 5, but not a 4 out of 5. Mm-hmm. And they'll adapt it for you.
Yeah. That's a very handy thing because I can't handle a lot of spice either. But, you know, my brothers love spice.
Mm-hmm.
More the better.
Yeah. So this is just one of those surveys that kind of makes you think about what is out there. What have I tried? What haven't I tried? And what's popular in different places?
Interesting to see what is popular in other parts of the country.
Mm-hmm. So go out and explore. See what you can find. And I think the kitchen is now closed.
Hmm.
I concur.
Well done, ladies. That was a lot of fun. That was very interesting. I love the range and the journey you took us on right there. That was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for that. Be listening next week in this time slot. We'll have another episode, another segment of The Kitchen's Open. Looking forward to hearing more from you guys about that next week's conversation.
Thank you.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and we'll get into our another conversation that we got coming up for you. We have some good stories, that ain't right stories, all that stuff coming up for you right here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Real quick, wanted to mention this earlier in Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We had a qualifier. Mispronounced her name. It's Allie Joy Blanchard.
Okay.
Allie Joy.
Joy.
Joy Blanchard. Allie Joy Blanchard.
Have a joyful day.
Yeah, have a great one, Allie. Have a good one. You're a qualifier. No matter how I mess up your name, you can't mess that up. You're a qualifier. That part we got.
And a reminder that Misty's Menu is still closed today because of vacations there, but they will be open again tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be there to greet them. You guys deserve the day off. I hope they're enjoying their day off over there at Misty's. Amazon's early access sale starts tomorrow and runs through Wednesday. It's like an early Black Friday sale where certain things are discounted for Prime members. It's the first time they have done a second Prime Day type sale in 1 year. Actual Prime Day is back in July.
Mm-hmm.
A new study found Amazon deals aren't always as good as they seem, though, so make sure you're really getting a good discount before you buy. When stuff's on sale, it also lists the original price crossed out, but the study found some Amazon sellers basically just make those old prices up.
Ah.
They looked at a bunch of different vacuum cleaners and found over a quarter of sellers had pretended to offer a discount when this quote-unquote sale price was actually more than the vacuums would usually cost.
That's not cool.
Wow.
In other words,
price gouging.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. In other words, something might normally sell for $200, but they'd claim the retail price was $300 and offer it at a fake discount of $250.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, yeah. It happens with vacuums a lot for some reason, but they also saw it with other products like digital cameras, blenders, drones, and books. I can tell you why it happens with vacuums, because they've shown they found they can get away with it.
Right.
Like any one of these products, there's no necessarily tie-in other than that.
Mm-hmm.
Can they get away with it?
Mm-hmm.
What they can get away with, they're going to keep doing. What they can't, they're not obviously going to do. This is... it comes back to, shopping local whenever you can.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, people will begrudge having to spend $5 or a couple more dollars on something, but they think they're getting it so much cheaper because it's Amazon and all this, because we just assume that it's cheaper there. People used to do this with Walmart back in the day.
Yeah.
They assumed that Walmart would have the cheapest prices because they could afford to have low prices. Mm-hmm. And then people would be kind of... I'm not even going to yell at the sellers about this, even though that is cheap. That hurts the truth in advertising laws and so many other things. It's obviously then a right story them doing this,
right?
But too often in life, I feel like that we need to put blame where it goes with given reason.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just throw blame around endlessly and namelessly and everything, then what does it mean? We have to be specific about these things. If they are the culprit of this, then yes, they deserve to be held accountable.
Right.
But, you know, so Amazon could be doing a better job policing this, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we could do a better job as consumers doing our homework.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think we do it because it saves us time. So we assume that what we see there is the truth instead of taking the time to do the price comparison. Where is it really less expensive for me to get this?
There's, or even just double check it in one other location.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't. It's not hard. I mean, it's every one of us. If you're on Amazon, you are on a device that can that has a search engine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Google, Bing, whatever you want to use. Check it out and see what the prices are.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of ways to do this without just immediately going to the it's their fault, not mine.
Right.
Like the personal responsibility, man. I mean, it's one of those things that it seems like more times than not when we come back to a subject, that's what we're coming down to.
Mm-hmm.
And in finding out, you know, the what's a real sale too? Because here's the other thing, and because we don't talk oftentimes enough about the positives of Amazon.
Right.
There are, especially in school year, there's so many times where there's items that are sold out at your local stores.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to use Amazon, and the fact that you can get things, especially if you have a Prime membership, within 24 hours. That is pretty revolutionary. I mean, mm-hmm. that is pretty darn cool. How they are able to pull that off is a whole other subject and a whole other topic. I don't mind going there, but we don't have the time really necessarily. And I feel like it's something that we've talked about, if not directly around it,
mm-hmm.
a million times on the show here.
Mm-hmm.
And never, you know, we're going to keep talking about it until they actually act right. But
absolutely.
This particular time, I don't think we necessarily have to get on that hill. But mm-hmm. it is certainly one that most of us, I know Melissa and I are willing to die on. I know how we feel about that
mm-hmm.
one. And most of the people I listen to or talk to, I know, feel very similar to those things.
Yep.
But you have to give credit where it's due at times, too. And
yes.
and that has been a lifesaver for so many parents, especially
mm-hmm.
single parents, that do I want to try to rile up, you know, ring in the kids and try to go to the store to get 2-3 items?
Right.
Or do I just get it delivered?
Right. And Amazon isn't the only one doing that anymore.
Right.
And you can certainly price compare. And, you know, we've got Target and Walmart and some other stores in the area that it's just as easy to do it through them.
You get what you put in.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a quick shopper and just about speed and all that and convenience, then you can't complain about prices as much as somebody who takes their time.
Right.
We'll take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back, have a bunch of more fun. It's mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Getting to a couple of good stories, but we still have a That Ain't Right story to get to.
Mm.
We got a couple of good stories of the day lined up for you. But first, this That Ain't Right one, because this is a doozy. Every wedding has to have one or two guests who add a little bit of spice and excitement to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
My mom talks about it's a famous story in our family of the first time my dad and her had a real date together. My dad invited her to a wedding.
Oh,
and
okay.
they're like, you know, 14, 15 a piece, you know, and everything. And they go there and my mom is horrified because the moment she walks in, they're right in the middle of the wedding are these two ladies just screaming at each other, yelling at each other like she's never seen before. And my mom leans over and she's like, geez, I'm glad it didn't come with them. And my dad tells her, those are my sisters.
Oh,
So we usually are that at the wedding. My family. We usually are that one that is brought to the wedding to be that spice, to be that excitement. Not
you
always
own
the,
it.
Yeah. Not always the good kind, but sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Someone recently got married at a very nice golf course near Scranton, Pennsylvania. Shout out to the office.
Mm-hmm.
Called Glenmora National. That's hosted PGA events before.
Okay.
During the wedding, a husband and wife who were there as guests got into an argument, and the wife started walking out onto the golf course in a huff. So the husband decided to follow her in his car.
What?
Yeah. Oh. He drove his Chevy sedan across the 18th fairway along the cart path, but at some point he left the path and drove straight into a creek by the 17th green.
Oh, no.
I'm guessing this guy's not a golf fan.
No.
Because he's not a golfer. There's a photo of his car straddling it with his back end up on some rocks and his front end planted in the ground on the other side. Someone called the cops, who had to winch his car out. And the most shocking part is he was sober when it happened, so he didn't get a DUI. That's probably not the most shocking part,
small
but that
favor.
Is a little shocking. The course isn't pressing charges either, but it might not be too popular with the wedding hosts. The course banned them from holding any events for the next 2 years.
Ooh.
And there were weddings planned there. So there are some people finding out this week that they have to find a new location for their wedding all because of this knucklehead.
Not easy to do that close.
No.
And I'm saying this for a number of reasons, that this is not a golfer. For one, you know, no golf, you know, lover would ever drive a vehicle onto the course.
Right.
And if they were going to, they'd use a golf cart.
Yeah.
There's vehicles perfectly designed for this.
Like, it's in the name.
It's right
golf
there.
Golf cart.
It's right there for you. You didn't have to grab the sedan.
No.
Like, what are you doing? What is going on here? And he did this and could not understand why he was in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, that's another part of this that I can't, that is a that ain't right part of this.
Well, why did he want to get in his car and do that anyway? You know, how angry must he have been that that's what it led to?
Yeah.
That he had to chase her in a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not often that at the wedding you get red flags about your partner, but
yeah. Might have been an indication.
Might be a something. Maybe I, you know, I wish this couple well. I hope everything works out for them and everything. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be betting on that one.
Might
I don't know if that's
be some
one of the
time wedding. For some counseling, maybe possibly.
Maybe learn the game of golf too while you're at it.
Yeah.
Maybe,
you know, yeah.
It's a couple of things. There can
if you want to bring something out onto the golf course, bring a club, not a car.
Mm-hmm. Of all the jobs in the world, why apply for this one? We're asking this person here, not the job, but this person specifically. A police station in New Jersey, was looking to hire a security guard, and a 27-year-old woman named Zemaya Johnson applied. But that probably wasn't the best idea on her part, because it turned out she was a wanted fugitive.
Oh, my goodness.
Applying for security guard.
Maybe she thought it would make her other job much easier to do.
I would make a good security guard because I've already tried to break into your place
exactly.
A number of times, and I know what won't work and what will work. Like, that is not a good, like, that's not a good reference.
No.
Like, when your references are all like a sheriff and police chief, and like, you know, I mean, it's probably not a good sign. Probably not. And you don't come from law enforcement. Probably not a good sign.
Yeah, there you go.
So when they ran her name, they found that she was wanted in Pennsylvania for failing to appear in court on fraud charges. She also had 10 bench warrants out in New Jersey for not appearing in court for traffic violations. But outside of that, you know, I had a pretty solid resume, actually.
Mm-hmm.
it gets even worse. On top of all that, they found two stolen credit cards when they arrested her. So they tacked on the charges for credit theft as well.
Yeah.
She is looking at some very serious time.
Yeah.
No word on if she got a follow-up interview.
No.
Second interview.
Yeah, haven't heard. We'll keep an eye out, though. You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
This kind of comes back to our earlier conversation, mm-hmm. though, about having to settle for people just because you're trying to just have bodies on the job and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a world where this woman gets this job because they don't do the
background check.
Yeah, they don't take their time to do these things because they need bodies and stuff.
Right.
And, geez. Mm-hmm. That that is a rough one. That is rough. And not on anybody else. It's all on her.
Like, right.
This one falls completely on her. What are you doing?
Well, the only thing I can think of is if she's already into doing that kind of thing, maybe the thought of, well, if I'm a security guard, then I've got access to everything I want.
I would give that as much credence as anything else, Beth, because I got no idea. I got nothing on this one. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with nothing but good stories of the day to take you up to the top of the hour. It is Melissa, Beth, and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy starts your day. 9:47 on the clock. James, Melissa, and Beth here with you. We'll take you right to the top of the hour. Got some local good stuff we want to talk about, some good stories of the day. Plenty of things to get to, but I want to actually rewind for a second to a good story of the day that just wrapped up over the weekend. Mm-hmm. The Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church hosted the community book sale that was held Thursday and Friday last 6th and 7th last week. Beth, you touched on this a little bit when we started our show today. Can you just give us a little walk down that, some of the details, how the event went, how much you guys were able to raise, and why you do this event every year?
Certainly. It's a continuation of an event that's been happening in the community for probably 20 years or more, and it's a community book sale. All of the proceeds that we raise from the book sale go towards scholarships at Mid-State Technical College. So it's awesome. A wonderful way of continuing people's education. And this year, we were able to give away two $500 scholarships, mm-hmm. and both of the recipients were second career and going into nursing.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, it's such a joy to be able to know that what we're doing is making a difference in people's lives. So we collect books throughout the summer. The bin usually goes out like Memorial Day weekend, and we stop at the end of September. We sort through all the books. So when you come to the book sale, you've got all of your novels on one side or the other going down the length of the hall. And then in the middle, it's separated by categories, biographies, cookbooks, also inspiration, religion. We have our stage is filled with just children's books. So people can come in from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. to Thursday and Friday, and then until noon, things that haven't sold yet, in an effort to try to get more money and still get the books out into people's hands. We say grab a paper bag, anything you can fit in the paper bag, as many as you can, for $2 a bag. And we were able to raise this year just over $1,700. So we were thrilled to be able to do that, and that will then go back into the scholarships that we'll be able to offer more scholarships next year to more students to get an education. But I do want to give a shout out to everybody that came out and helped with collecting the books, sorting the books, getting the books out there, cleaning up. It took us 2 hours. We boxed all of the books that didn't sell, and a member of our congregation is going to load them into a trailer and take them down to Chicago to a place that does continue to sell these used books, so that these books get a second life and more people get the opportunity to read. Mm. So it's a wonderful event.
A big thank you to the community. Thank you to you, Beth, yes. and your clergy and the people that helped bring the books down and take care of the event and everything. We appreciate you guys doing this and putting back into your community.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, and we've got a lot of volunteers that come in and help us with that, and they all did a phenomenal job. So I give a shout out to the planning committee and all of the members that helped to make this happen.
Also want to mention that Off the Clock with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce being hosted today by the Buckley Baldwin VFW Post 2534. Today from 4 to 6, enjoy the event. They're going to have raffles. Mm-hmm. They will have hors d'oeuvres provided by Chatterbox. It's open to the public and free to attend. Again, the Off the Clock event with the Buckley Baldwin VFW Post 2534 happening today from 4 to 6 at 2711 Redden Road in beautiful Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeah.
Have a great event, you guys. Mm-hmm. And keep this in mind, too, when it comes to our Buckley Baldwin VFW Post 2534. Tomorrow is Culver's night there.
Yes.
From 4 to 8, 10% of all the proceeds will go to the VFW, which puts back into the community, all that. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win right there if there ever was one. Keep that in mind, everybody. And then this Wednesday, please join the United Way for their 50th annual United Way Day at McDonald's.
Yes.
And this is at the Wisconsin Rapids McDonald's, so please keep that in mind. The United Way of Southwood and Adams County is hosting the event, creating lasting change in our community. It's a great way to be a part of helping your community and getting some good food at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And a River Riders Bike Share, Fall Community Bike Ride happening with Wood County Sheriff Sheriff Becker and Grand Rapids Chief Pedersen. This will be happening at Lake Wazicha, White Sands Beach, Wednesday, October 12th. Ride starts at 5:30. Meet at the River Riders Bike Share Station in the parking lot at White Sands Beach. Bring your own bike or ride a River Riders Bike Share bicycle.
Yeah.
You can find out more by going on Facebook and going to River Riders Share or Bike Share dot River Riders Bike Share. So that's all one word, River Rider Bike Share. Go ahead and look that up.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a fun event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A 23-year-old named Chris Ninnick just became the first person with Down syndrome to complete an Ironman race.
Wow.
Man. That's a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike ride, and then a full 26.2-mile marathon. Wow. He finished in 16 hours and 31 minutes with almost a full half hour to spare before the 17-hour cutoff.
Good for him.
Nicely done, Chris. Nicely done. Mm-hmm. North Dakota State College of Science has a football team, and they're in the news because they've got a player this year who's 49 years old.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
His name is Ray Ruschel, and he's a defensive lineman. He spent almost two decades in the Army and National Guard before coming back to school to study business management. The last time he played football was his senior year of high school more than 30 years ago.
Well, with that career, he's probably pretty fit.
Probably.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Still in good shape. Yeah.
Yeah. Go North Dakota.
Mm-hmm. A woman in Fort Myer lost her engagement ring outside her house and spent 2 days looking for it. Then Hurricane Ian hit, so she gave up hope completely after that. But her husband was cleaning up after the storm last week and found it in a pile of sticks.
No way.
Wow.
Almost unheard of.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the odds would be in Vegas for that to happen, for her to ever find that ring.
Pretty slim.
Before the hurricane.
Right.
Then a hurricane happens and, geez.
Yeah.
Well, it's a silver lining.
Yeah, got to take as many as we can get out of that situation. And a big shout out to all the people who have already been helping so much with our fellow Americans in Florida and what they're going through.
And don't stop.
Yeah, please don't. The outdoor clothing brand REI announced that they're never doing Black Friday again.
Good.
Instead, they are giving all 16,000 of their employees a paid day off to enjoy some time outdoors.
Yay.
Awesome.
And I will be buying items from REI going forward here.
Yes.
I will
just
definitely be supporting.
Between them and Patagonia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I believe in putting, from a local basis, I only support businesses that put back into their community.
Right.
I shouldn't say I only, but overall, I focus to, yes. And I certainly do this on a national level.
Mm-hmm.
When you see things like this, I think that's stuff that deserves to be, you know.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool. Getting into some more good. A 17-year-old girl in Florida is running her own auto shop out of her parents' garage and hired five other girls to help out. It's called Riley's Rebuilds. They break down our carburetors, people mail in, rebuild them, and send them back. They do it after school and charge less than half of what normal places do.
Go, girls!
Man, is that cool. That's a great business idea, too.
Yeah.
That's very smart. Most mechanics can, you know, you're kind of a folk, you have to work with what you got around you.
Mm-hmm.
Sending it to them from around the world to get these things.
Well, yeah, because they're specializing on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely done.
And breaking down barriers in the process, because we think mechanics, that's not the gender you're usually going to go to. So good for them.
A woman in California thought her cat, Harriet, got taken by a coyote when she disappeared, but just got her back 9 years later. Remember
nine
we did this?
Years?
Yeah, we did this story last Friday, yeah. The other bit of data that's coming out now is I was kind of assuming she had a microchip, but Harriet somehow ended up at a shelter in Idaho, and they scanned her microchip, and that is how they were able to get her back to her home. Now, she didn't end up, it doesn't say this in the story, she didn't actually end up going back home. They let her old owner know that, hey, we found this cat.
Right.
But the new owner was afraid of taking the cat in from another family and stuff, so she was happy where she was, so they just left her where she was.
Aww.
But it was really nice for that family to get that closure.
Right, to know that she's okay.
Yeah, not only was she not gobbled up by a coyote, but she's been living a really happy life.
Yeah.
That's good news.
No word from Harriet about how she ended up there.
Yeah.
Harriet has yet to tell
epic
us.
Epic journey.
Yeah, gotta find out, Harriet. You know?
Come on.
What's the matter? Cat got your tongue?
I like that name for a cat, too, Harriet.
I saw what you did there. I heard what you did there.
I worked all night on that joke. I worked all night. Thank you, Beth. And Melissa? Rightfully done by your mouth.
I don't know which reaction was the correct one there, but we both had them.
Beth has the unfortunateness of being in the room with me. So she feels, I mean, this almost have to like give me the pity laugh at least. Melissa doesn't have to do that. It's a horrible joke. Meanwhile, in dog news, a new study in Switzerland found that petting dogs stimulates the brain and makes us friendlier.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason why there's dog therapies in hospitals and nursing homes.
There is more and more data being collected and giving evidence to petting our animals is more about us than them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, more and more, this is becoming a thing. Like, and so much of it, like, you think, well, but the dog comes over to me and wants me to rub its butt and everything. The dog thinks that you want it to come over there to rub its butt. Like, we're seeing more and more of that. It's not to say the dog doesn't get something out of
it.
Pets like pets, you know? I mean,
but it's reciprocal.
Yeah. But it definitely seems to be more times than not, we're getting more out of the situation, the trade-off here, than they are.
Absolutely.
It's kind of funny.
Oh, my goodness.
A kid in Montana scored a touchdown in a football game Monday night, and right after it happened, a car headed by lost control and drove into a pond. But a guy in the stands immediately jumped up, ran to the pond, broke a window with his bare hands, and saved three girls while the car filled with water. The best part, he was the father of the kid who scored the touchdown.
Wow.
So he didn't get to see his son complete. He didn't get to see completely his son scoring this touchdown because he was a little busy.
Oh, my goodness. If there's a reason to miss it, I guess that would be a good reason to miss that.
It seems like a fair trade-off right there. Yeah. But, man, is that just a remarkable set of circumstances.
He's a hero.
And people want to talk about, you know, hey, I know that there's certain things that football does to society that aren't great, but hey, the power of football, I mean, does it have anything to do with this situation? Not really.
It put the man in the right place at the right time.
It did. And it gives me a great segue to talk about playmakers, which is coming up in less than a minute.
You would, James.
I do. I so would. No, a big shout out to this kid and his dad. Like, man, that is huge. I think everybody has pressed themselves when these situations come up. How would I handle it?
Right.
For somebody like me, in a fortunate or unfortunate way, for whatever you want to look at it as, I've been in so many of these situations that I know how I'll handle them because I've had them happen.
Right.
But at the same time, I've never been in this situation. I've never had this specific situation happen to me. It seems kind of foolish to predict how I would handle it. I don't know. I think when we hear these stories, it gives us more evidence of, in that heat of the moment situation, what will we do? It's not to say that your brain immediately goes to this reference point, at least that you acknowledge, but it does. It's data.
Unconsciously, it's processing in there.
Right. So I think that that's another good part of bringing up these stories.
Absolutely.
And I get to bring up again playmakers, of course, which Randy Paul will be joining me for. We'll be joined by River Kings head coach Paul Peachman. Coach Peckman's going to join us. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a great conversation. Stick around for playmakers, everybody. Melissa, have a great day.
Yeah, you too, guys.
You too.
Beth, have a good one. Thanks for joining us.
You guys too.
We'll be back with more fun tomorrow right here on
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.